We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking today with Dr. Tim Schaefer, who is the Associate Professor in the Department of Communication Studies at Kansas State University and also the Director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. And we have, we're taking phone calls here from our guests, our callers here as well. And we have one person waiting. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for your presentation. You really touched my life. As a young man at the Thanksgiving table, my brother-in-law has a master's degree in economics, and he used the Thanksgiving dinner to try and convince my dad that there wouldn't be any Social Security for him when he retired. And luckily, he lived to be 95 and prove him wrong, and I'm going to live to be 95 and also prove him wrong. But it destroyed whatever sit-down family dinners in my mind. I got to where I couldn't even do the lunchroom. And having listened to you, I extended myself to the latest family reunion. And being there, unbeknownst to me, they brought in the oldest grandfather from the hospital, having been in there for months with the C-19. And he came in on the walker and flopped down on live oxygen in the Lazy Boy chair and was gone for 3 hours. And we sat there around him, and the next day I got a hold of his son-in-law and said, listen, as far along as this has gone with him, you need to talk to your significant other about being prepared for an end or whatever is going to happen here. And they were all anti-vaccine, this latest item in the news. And I said, and you need to think about in the family endeavors, you being the main operator here, if something happens to you and you have to put this off on your wife and the children, it's not going to function. You really need to think about getting the vaccine and let it go at that. And then when they did in the next few days, they called and thanked me for having, they didn't know, sharing your communications that you taught me with them, that everyone else had screamed at them about go get the vaccine, where I was able to communicate with them and touch them where they lived in their daily endeavors so that they would go ahead and get the vaccine, we hope, to extend their family endeavors. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I think in one way, my showing up here and talking about some of this stuff could just, I don't want to say pessimistic or just whatever kind of view is that you're like, oh, here's a time slide, here's a person to talk about stuff. But at the same time, I think as the caller, and I truly appreciate what you just said, was highlighting is that, you know, there are some things, I think even at the top of the hour here, we were discussing it. There are moments and absolutely appropriate places we need to discuss and wrestle with policy, what's going on. I just got my new property tax bill and was reminded of the discussions that have been going on locally about that and you know, kind of hits you in certain ways. And there are also moments and I think relationships, especially in families, that we have to figure out how do we interact with one another? How do we kind of maintain, sustain relationships with one another? And I think, as was being highlighted by the caller, right, one of the major factors, and we knew a lot of this coming into, say, Thanksgiving, was the challenge, the complication of, like, how do we convene together when we're, kind of wrestling currently in a pandemic, right, still with variants and such that, we've been following the last few days that are continuing to be really impactful on individuals and communities and around the world. And I think being able to do so in either a more measured or kind of reasonable way is really significant, and also to kind of depolarize. There are some great organizations, some that I work with. One, Braver Angels, talks about this work all the time, about depolarization. And I think there's something really significant about that, that if we only walk around in this kind of extreme sort of version of oneself, then there's a lot of loss. And in the instance that was just captured here, and I think, it's both beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time, right? We can think about lots of relationships that are just absolutely fractured and they no longer exist. You know, people kind of split because of these dramatic moments, and holidays are one of these scenarios too, where people step into these situations and have really different kind of views of the world. And there can be a loss there. And it's someone, you know, my father passed away just a few years ago. And you know, there are things that change that you don't get to take back. And, I think we have to be mindful of that. And in this season of the year, of kind of gratitude and of Thanksgiving and of hope and joy for all the challenges in our lives at the same time, that I think we want to recognize that there are relationships and things that are, I don't want to say more important, but really essential and central to kind of the who we are as people. And if we lose sight of that, and if all we think about is kind of the red and blue and the polarization and that sort of stuff, I think there's a real loss there. So I appreciate the caller making those comments. And I would encourage others to think about that too, of like, how do we, you know, if you want to think about Thanksgiving somewhat as a trial run for the upcoming kind of gatherings and such that will come in the next few weeks, how do you want to step into that? And what does yelling and screaming, coming in with fact sheets and all sorts of data? I've done this in the past. The research highlights that it doesn't really work very well. One of the central ways that people actually influence others is actually through kind of relationship and emotional connections. If we have those kind of relationships, then we can talk about the things where we have some disagreement. Coming in and saying, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't have the right data, so to speak, unsurprisingly, that doesn't really win many arguments. And if you're not convinced by what I'm saying right now, go check out Facebook or someplace else and realize like how little actually happens in those environments. So again, thanks on that point. Yeah, but I think it does highlight, I think, the reality and also the opportunity that is in front of all of us.
You know, I was reading an article the other day, and it was in the Christian Science Monitor online. I just happened to find something online. And this really struck me because it's about a professor, a philosophy professor, who wants their students to think in paragraphs. And I thought, you know, that's a good statement there, because a lot of times things are oversimplified in slogans, labels, and they talk about that here in the article. But thinking in paragraphs and having, you know, some actual thought going into conversations like this can go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, literally just yesterday I saw somebody who's critiquing kind of the way that media, and I realize I'm sitting here where I am, mm-hmm. and you know, there's reasons that we have to have leads and headlines and things that are brief and sometimes succinct, but what gets lost in those moments? And you know, the other side of that, and as an academic and as someone who has been referred to as being rather loquacious at different times, or a lot of time, is, you know, we can also go so deeply into the nuance that all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, what did you even say? Mm-hmm. Or like, you've said things that seem contradictory or whatever. And so I think, you know, the article that you're highlighting really speaks to, I think, an opportunity to say, how do we step back from just that brevity that loses, I think, the fuller notion of what's behind, you know, a statement, and at the same time, not to get so lost that all of a sudden you've got a monologue going on, and as the caller highlighted, right, you're sitting around the table and you're just like, and we all know that too, right? Those moments when a statement's been made and maybe you cycle back, circle back a few times too many, and you're like, okay, we got it, we hear what you're saying, we don't need a fourth example of what this looks like. That framing of thinking in paragraphs, I think, is a really beautiful one, right? How do we get in a little bit more detail, but in a way that's digestible, like that we can make sense of it, and that it's, but it's also robust enough, right? That it gives us like, oh, okay, here's the thing. We don't necessarily have to always agree with it, but we can also say, here's a chance to understand more than just, you know, what the literally the brief line, not even a sentence, right? Headlines don't even have punctuation, for example. So what allows us to understand a little bit more?
And you're probably more than likely to find common ground in a paragraph than in a, you know, one little catchphrase or something like that.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, right. I mean, this is where There are reasons like pithy slogans exist, right? They're the chants, they're the things that you can, I mean, even take sports here, right? This is the reason like we've got certain things that we say at football games and basketball and everything else, right? But you know, there's something really lost there that it is, you know, the succinct nature strips away, you know, wait, what are you actually saying? Like, what's going on here? And stepping back from the sports kind of comparison here to think more just explicitly around politics, like that oversimplification just, you know, loses, I don't want to just say the nuance, but I think really the depth of whatever it is we're actually talking about, right? So as the caller was highlighting, talking about something like Social Security, yeah, this is highly nuanced and complex. You know, how do we think about the kind of money going in and out and population and rates that are helping the system work and all sorts of stuff, right? That doesn't get often talked about. It's more of just like, oh, they're taking my Social Security, right? Or this other stuff. Or like, I mean, the paradox of how when we simplify how we think about, say, the social safety net, for example, or dare I say welfare, which is, you know, kind of a pejorative in this country, like, you know, the healthcare debates, the town halls in the early 2010s, right, when it's like, you know, get your government hands off my Medicare. It's like we need a better articulation of what we mean by some of these things, because such simplifications also get us into really sloppy thinking about all sorts of stuff, right? Well, in fact, what you're saying you don't want is what makes that possible. So how do we talk about those in ways that, but, you know, but the reason, the slogany sorts of statements, the kind of short, pithy articulations, why they do well is because they're easy, right? They're simplified stories. It's why we like good and bad, right? You know, like, I know we've talked about it before, and you were even mentioning off the air the Beatles show on Disney Plus. But you know, Disney falls into this a lot. Really simplified stories of like, there's a good actor, there's a bad actor, right? We don't often think about the, you know, the stepmother, for example, in Cinderella, possibly being a reasonably or possibly good person, right? Or having some of these dimensions, and that's just, you know, that's part of life, is that we're all kind of more nuanced and complex. But if we don't ever talk about it in that way, then we just have the simplified versions. And I think thinking in paragraphs helps us, you know, whether we're actually writing term papers or otherwise, but for all of us to step back from just like, what's this thing that feels like the jab? You know, the thing, I won't say it on air because it was actually disgusting, but I saw a line actually driving not too far from here on Tuttle Creek of somebody had a sticker on the back of their rear window in their vehicle, and referring to our president and our vice president in a very derogatory way. And I was just like, God, you can have a different view of politics, but you don't have to do that. Maybe I'll just leave it there. But like, that's where a lot of things are, and I think that's a real loss for all of us.
Well, let's take a break here. We'll continue our conversation here on In Focus with Dr. Tim Schaefer in a moment. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.